It's Song Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we'll become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
Calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland, the east coast of the continent, I am excited and humbled because of our show tonight.
I'm just in general.
I'm just always humbled and impressed.
Exactly. And for that, we're gonna find out the reason for that. And I've kind of feel the same way, to be honest, for sure. But in the meantime, please send your comments and questions to @songtalkradio on Facebook or Instagram, feedback@songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're very happy to be showcasing three more listener songs to our songwriting challenge for 2025 to write a song in an odd time signature. And of course, please see the challenge webpage at songtalk.ca for all the links to past episodes and resources related to this challenge. If you're new to our podcast, we have dedicated pages to our songwriting challenges going all the way back to 2020. So there's a ton of great episodes and resources for everyone to explore for all our challenges. This is challenge number 6, isn't it,
Phil? I know. And what a challenge it was. I have a bit of a confession. I think I figured out that the melody that I did for my challenge song was not in 7/4, 7/8. I think it was all in 4/4.
Your melody?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we did comment on that during your episode too, that at least...
Oh, I wasn't listening.
At least the part of it was that, or were we talking about one of the listener songs? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a thing. Yeah. Then you're doing the, what's it called? I keep wanting to call it compound time, but it was discussed on a previous episode. That's not right.
Oh, yeah. It's
polyrhythm.
Polyrhythms. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know how two becomes poly. I would have called it birhythm maybe.
Well,
I mean, polyrhythm implies there's like several or a few.
Well, that is true, especially these days. And, you know, whatever works for you. But because I noticed in the chorus, I had to sort of do them in two sections because one line sort of basically fell on top of the other line. And that was because it was trying to put four beats where there's only three.
Right.
Or three and a half or whatever it was. So that's it was.
Gotcha.
But it was more complicated than I thought.
Yeah, but yours had a good groove and a good feel to it. Like I didn't maybe notice that the melody was a slightly different meter. But you know, it's all good. It's all about the learning. You know, there's no rules to this challenge except for odd times. That's it.
No, that's true.
To the extent of it or whatever. Okie dokie. And before we get to the songs for today, we did get a comment on our website from the first episode we did for listener songs for this challenge. And that was from Paul Gallagher, who shared his song on that episode. And he wrote to us on the website and said, "Hi, Neil and Phil, thanks for your feedback on the song. Yes, I've heard the 7/8 timing is not easy to hear in this song. And part of that may be the busy drums, which I like and will work on modifying, and the lyrical phrasing to be worked on. The chart, it is mostly for my reference, so I know what to play, and yes, they are inversions. The green is what I found to be the conventional naming. I retained the bass note in the naming to ensure that a semblance of the inversion might be played by others. I create soundscapes and usually do not follow functional harmony unless it is by accident. I go with what my ears tell me. Yes, occasionally I will explore harmony, and the final decision is how it sounds to me. Thanks again."
Oh, cool.
The comment. Yeah. Cause he had that really interesting lyric chord sheet where he was like spelling out the letter, literally the notes of each chord and versions as they were and everything. So he has his own kind of codified system, and you know, if it makes sense to him, and you know, and his explanation does make sense.
But what's smart is he actually writes stuff down.
Yeah.
Which I never do, which is really dumb, but,
well,
if I ever fall down and hit my head, I'm screwed. But what the hell? Well,
but you could just, Yeah, you can just write it down. That's all you can do. I was just saying, you could probably get an AI to help you with that, but maybe not. I don't know.
That's true. Well, you record it. Maybe get... Yeah, I wonder if AI
I wonder if you feed an MP3 into an AI and say, here, make me a lyric and chord sheet of this. Will it do it?
It might. There's only one way to find out.
And you could provide a good lyric and chord sheet as an example.
And say, that's follow this format. Point. Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Wow.
Yeah. The more data you feed to the AIs, the better.
That's true.
Okay. But for once, we're not talking about AI on this episode. No, although I think one of our listeners did use an AI tool. In the song that he did. So so let's, shall we get into it then?
Indeed.
All right. The first one up is October Morning by Dan D'Agostino. And Dan's been a regular member of our Song Talk meetup lately. I've seen him a few times over the last few months at the meetup, and he does some really interesting stuff. Piano player and really good, really interesting person and a wonderful songwriter. So he wrote to us and said, I think going into the process without too much calculation stifles creativity. I do my best to just let things flow. For this song, I set my metronome to 5/4 and started playing the keyboard. For the lyrics, I simply looked out the window and tried to describe what I saw. Having mostly finished the song, the lyrics will probably be revised a bit more. In retrospect, I can say that the 5/4 time signature gave these sections a kind of relentless driving quality. The 3/4 sections let the listener relax a little bit and also are a nice contrast with the 5/4 verses, which seem more emotionally intense. The lyrics just naturally took on a kind of impressionistic quality, I believe, to match the intensity of the 5/4 sections. Listening to it, it feels to me like the morning is overflowing with color and brightness. In my opinion, the impressionistic quality of the lyrics gives it that. Just my opinion, though. I'm not sure if the lyrics or even the whole song will work for others. All right. Thanks for writing to us, Dan. And yes, I'm sure everything you suppose about the song, I think, is true in his case. Any comments, Phil, before we take a listen to Dan's song?
It's a really cool song. I love the way the lines are sort of played. It's an interesting approach, and I really liked it. So let's take a listen and talk about it some more.
At daybreak, the wind blows, puts on a big show. Some gusts are quite loud. Here comes a rain cloud. It begins pouring on the October morning. The rain stops the sunlight. It's suddenly so bright. The whole city swims in six shades of crimson. Inside this morning, an October warning. Winter will soon be here. Darkness will soon appear. The year deathly sick and old, lying there stiff and cold. Why then all the brightness? Why then all the sweetness? Why then, if it's only to end, only to end? Why then all the closeness? Why then all the softness? Why then, if it's only to end? Sky on full view, stainless and so blue. Autumn resilient, six shades of brilliant. The sun goes on warming the October morning. Winter is closing in, there is no stopping him, swallowing up the light, leaving us total night. Why then all the brightness? Why then all the sweetness? Why then if it's only to end? Only to end. Why then all the closeness? Why then all the softness? Why then if it's only to end?
One of the past shows about how our tools influence the art that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're working with a DAW, it has a time signature. And so you get like a loop going and everything is very kind of regulated, be groovier or less so, but it's very regimented. And what I loved about this, especially at the beginning, is the way those lines were sort of played. There was like sort of a real separation in the lines. It wasn't like it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was each line was kind of played by itself and then kind of given a bit of space, mm-hmm. which you would only be able to do if you actually played a live instrument and not played into a grid.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that as well. It gives it a really distinct feel. But at the same time, when I first heard this song, I was like, okay, Dan was nice enough. He labeled the different sections of 5-4 and 3-4 on his sheet. And I'm looking at the first verse going, at daybreak, the wind blows. And that is five beats, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Right. And then you're right. It holds. It's like, I mean, my brain went right to sheet music. When I was in high school, we had the sheet music. We had the little conductor's eye, they call it, right?
Oh, right.
At the end of the measure, there's a little conductor's eye, and you're supposed to watch the conductor because the conductor's holding their hand up, and we're supposed to hold there.
Yeah.
And tempo essentially just drops to like nil, essentially, right? And we're just holding, and then drops into the next line, to the next measure. And that's kind of what he's doing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it's almost like it's a 6-8 bar.
Yeah.
Sometimes I almost feel like it's just equal to one other beat. Sometimes it's a little bit longer, sometimes it's a little bit shorter. It's very fluid, which made me interested in his process, because he even says in his description, for this song, I set the metronome to 5/4 and started playing the keyboard.
Hmm.
So it may be that he came up with that kind of dun, 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 that pattern in 5/4, but then when it came time to performing it, recording it, he just switched the metronome off and just felt his way through it. I'm guessing
that's quite possible what's
happened. But at least he used the metronome as a device to sort of pin down what the rhythm of that phrase was going to be.
Yeah, I really like it. It makes it feel very poetic in kind of a way. It was very reminiscent of an artist I'm quite fond of. His music was played in a show called Our Flag Means Death, which is a really kind of sweet, fun show.
What artist was this? His name escapes you? Or
The name of the artist is Moondog.
Oh, Moondog. You mentioned him. You mentioned that artist before, I think.
Yeah, very. I'll put a link to the to one of his songs. And he does have these sort of kind of poetic, sort of very loose sort of ways of playing. And it was really, it's really beautiful. And it's so often when we interview one of our guests, they'll have a very different process. And I think, oh, wow, I want to try doing it that way because I've never done a song that way. And I've never done a song like this. I can play piano, fairly okay. I'd actually have the mastery to be able to play it this loose and still make it sound coherent. And I like the lyrics are very kind of direct, but still beautiful. There's one line I just love, though.
It's got a lot of lyrics in the song.
He does.
There's a fair degree of repetition, too, but...
Oh, yes. We keep on turning and we keep on turning away from each other. I thought that was... That would have been a brilliant line to end it on. I think that is such a strong, beautiful line.
That would be kind of a nice ending. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, because the we doesn't come up before, does it?
Yeah.
It's more descriptive. It's more third person descriptive.
Yeah, and I thought it was a beautiful turn of phrase.
No, the lyrics are quite poetic. A lot of good imagery there. I do like the verse, winter's closing in.
Yeah.
Stopping him, swelling up the light, leaving his total night. It's kind of cool. And I think, you know, again, this is one of those things where you're looking at the lyric sheet and you're following along and everything. But I think the difference between his 5/4 sections and his 3/4 sections, they're pretty seamless but you can feel the difference between them, right? Right. When he hits the 3/4 sections, it's a little more regimented. It's a little more 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Right. Like he doesn't pause with the conductor's eyes in the 3/4 section. So it's a little more flowing. So he definitely has that strong, fairly strong contrast between them. But at the same time, if you didn't have access to the lyric sheet, you're trying to count along, you may think it's all in 3 or it's all in 6 or something, you know, it's fairly, it doesn't sound awkward as an odd time section.
No, not at all, which is beautiful. Yeah, it just sounds like a beautiful song, you know, and really nicely done. And I guess I like it because it's the type of thing I wouldn't write. Like, I don't think I would ever write lyrics like Big Sky on Full View, Stainless and So Blue, Autumn Resilient and Six Shades of Brilliant. I mean, those are great lyrics. I just don't think I would think that way, you know?
That's okay. We all have our things.
Well, I get inspired and then I think, oh, I want to try that. And then the problem is we do a show every week, so I'm getting inspired to try something new every week, so I never actually get a chance to try anything.
Let's do it, yeah.
I still want to do that. We had a guest who wrote a paragraph of text and then did music from that.
Oh.
That was way back in the early days when we were in the radio station.
Yeah. Damn. Everyone's got their own thing. It's crazy. Awesome. Okay, shall we move on to Lin-Moe?
Yes.
All right. Lin-Moe has been a regular contributor to our challenge and a big fan of the podcast. He's contributed to our challenge before, I'm pretty sure. He writes to us, says, "Greeting, gents. You guys rock. Thanks so much for keeping the pod going. I never miss an episode." Oh, thanks. "Please find attached my song, The Vigil, for this year's song challenge. Process. After exploring the world of odd time signatures, I felt 9/8 would evoke the sense of uneasiness that best matched the song's theme.
9/8.
A demo of the chord progression. 9/8. A demo of the chord progression. A suspended 2, E major. B suspended 2, C sharp minor 7. With the 9/8 drum pattern, which is attached, provided the framework for me to begin working on the song in Suno AI. After spending some hours guiding and curating prompts around my idea for the song I came up with half a dozen keepers out of the many versions generated. I then edited them down into a final version, which is attached. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. Best, Lynn. Wow. Thanks for sharing, Lynn. And in other words, he put his, I guess he made a demo of a 9/8 drum pattern, stuck it into Suno and tried to get Suno to write a song, and then took bits and pieces of what Suno did and wrote it himself based on that, I guess.
Yes. Well, we'll just play a little bit of the demo that he sent.
Sure.
Because it's interesting because it's actually fairly different from the final. Count 9/8.
That was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's right. The way I was counting it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So again, right. I can play it one more time.
Sure. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
So
I think that was the one there.
So where's the snare?
The one almost seems like it could have been. It could also be 3/8. I can argue for 3/8, and
that's true.
But 9/8, fair enough. Just from where the snare falls, it like falls on the 3, and then it falls on the 7. I think.
Okay.
Something like that. So.
It is quite. Quite
it's
cool. Quite
interesting. It's a really interesting vibe, that whole rhythm and the way the guitar plays and everything.
I never would have thought of 9/8. Barely understood 7/4. That's about it. Okay, do you want to hear the whole track then?
Yeah, let's hit it.
I wanna yell as loud as I can.
that I'm right here like I've always been. But I don't know what you hear. I can't tell if you're feeling fear. Why does the obvious seem so unclear? The rhythm fades to an unbroken sound. And in this moment,
what a brilliant tune.
Yeah, great, great stuff.
And interesting how that came out of the first demo, because it, like, they don't sound that related, but then you kind of go, yeah, I guess they are kind of someone.
I think they are kind of related. I think that was his, basically like his chorus little bit, even though it wasn't exactly the same, maybe is pretty close, I think. But I feel like I feel, you know, trying to count along in this one too, I felt like I was kind of losing it a little bit. Like, if I, you know, I don't know what to do, which is a fabulous chorus, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really, really strong melodically and everything. But, you know, if you count the do as the one, I don't know what to do. There's your one, because it does feel like a significant, like, downbeat there. Yeah. If you start counting one there, I think by the end of the verse, there's an extra 3 beats or 6 beats or something before it kind of drops into the next verse. And
yeah.
I think there's a little bit of playing. I don't know that if it's consistently 9/8. Maybe it is, but... If it is consistently 9/8, the feeling of where the downbeat is maybe sometimes falling on the 4 or the 7 or...
Yeah, well, because I was trying to, not all the time, because I was a lot of time just listening to the song.
Yeah, me too.
But when I would remember to count, because that's what we're here for.
Yes.
Yeah, it was hard to figure out where the 1 was, but it didn't sound like a 4/4, so like, no, it did sound different, but not, but again, not jarring, which I think a lot of people think a weird time signature would be.
Mm-hmm.
And these examples, it hasn't been. It's been very musical.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just a great song. And this is a great song. And you know, one of the things that the, you know, 10 things that make you sound like an amateur songwriter and having too many ideas. Yeah. And this had one really, really strong idea and kind of in one moment of time in some ways. It didn't, you know, kind of progress that much. I think maybe, you know, apart from the person passed by the end. But, you know, it was a very clear and simple idea and didn't stray from that. And it worked so well.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty deep lyric, actually, like very, very compelling emotionally. But really, really super. Yeah, and you're right. It doesn't sound awkward. It does sound a little bit, odd. Like, it does sound a little bit uneasy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way the phrases are, you can't really predict when the next lyric is going to really come in.
Yeah.
Because there's like a little bit of extra space there because of the, maybe because of the 9/8 time and things kind of flow in that way. Well, especially in the verses, there's not a lot of rhythmic stuff happening. So you know, the downbeat could be literally anywhere in those sections.
Like, I'm not sure if this is, you know, a purposeful proposity or is it proposity? You know, how the music follows what the lyrics are saying.
Prosody?
Prosody, that's the word. There's one of them 50 cent P words.
Preposterous prosody.
I'm not sure if the prosody was accidental or on purpose, but it does feel like if you were sitting next to someone who was dying, you know, your heart would be going, your emotion, you would be that kind of unsteady. And it just kind of reinforces the lyrics and the concept. So it's
yeah,
so
and,
nice.
And he even says that in his process description. I felt 9/8 would evoke the sense of uneasiness that best matched the song's theme. So we had the idea for the song. You know, a 9/8 maybe is the way to go because of the uneasiness. And it depends. I mean, you know, on that episode we did a couple years ago with the 9/8 songs, the Sting song, I Hung My Head, a little more structured 9/8, like very clearly 9/8 and where the downbeats fall and everything, right? And it's similar with this song. Like, there's a lot of perfect rhyming in this. You know, Breath Away, Yesterday, Far Away. You know, there's quite a bit of perfect rhyming. So it in some ways it kind of lifts the curse off the really dark lyric.
Yeah, it does actually,
right? About someone dying. Like, it actually, if you don't pay attention to the story and digest the, you know, that there's a significant loss going on here, it might just be a kind of cool indie pop song.
Yeah, it's a great tune.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic work, really, really strong.
Lynn, you do rock. And thanks for sending in the demo too. It's great to sort of hear what the process is, you know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's really interesting that he engaged with Suno, and I kind of want to hear more about that. But you know, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, it's something I haven't explored too much myself.
Yeah, only recently. We'll talk about it in a future episode, but I recently engaged with it and it was interesting how it turned out.
Yeah.
In the end. But okay, shall we move on to Steve Johnson?
Let's do it.
Okay, Let It Roll by Steve Johnson. He wrote to us and said, "Hello, Neil and Phil. Please see my submission for this year's songwriting challenge. This is my third year in a row, and I always look forward to participating in your challenges. Full disclosure, I love odd time signatures and I've been writing music in every meter imaginable for a long time. That being said, my writing has not really taken me in the odd time direction as of late. So as soon as I heard about this year's challenge, I got back to my roots and started writing. As of this email, I've written 7 songs in a variety of time signatures. I submit to you my favorite of the crop, Let It Roll. The meter is 17/8, which breaks down.
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah,
Steve,
yeah.
You're just showing off, Steve.
Just showing off. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the 17/8, according to Steve, breaks down into a bar of 10/8 or 5/4, if you like, with 4+4+2 eighth note groupings, followed by a bar of 7/8 with 4+3 groupings. I think he explains it on his.
Why not?
Yeah, I think he explains on his lyric sheet a little bit better. So the 17/8 is 4+4+2, and then 4+3. So it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
Right, and that is pretty much how he, like, this is a very rhythmically intense kind of rock song. So it's very clear that is the division of where the beats happen,
right?
And the rhythm section. So anyway, the entire song consists of alternating major 7 chords moving in whole steps, mostly, that change on the 2 and 3 groupings of the respective measures. So he's changing chords on those divisions as well, right?
Right, yeah.
The form is fluid with a few repeated hooks, and the chorus is slightly different every time it happens. A big challenge for me was making it feel natural within the parameters of the time signature, which I think I achieved for the most part. Much Absolutely. Of the vocal melody involves rapping, which was a little tricky given the meter. I'm pretty happy with this one. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for offering these challenges to provide a platform for songwriters to explore their ideas. Thanks, Steve Johnson, Coventry, Rhode Island, USA.
Oh, nice.
I guess what RI means. I'm guessing that means Rhode Island. yeah, yeah. Very cool song. And like, yeah. Of course, the rapping and everything, he's got a lot going on in this thing, but if anything, this is the one song out of all the listener songs, I feel like, where the meter is really, really clear, even though it is 17/8.
Okay. Well, let's try it. And
like, it's easy to count along to once you know the divisions, right? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. It's pretty clear. All right, let's take a listen. This is Let It Roll by Steve Johnson.
Designed to be
drop. A baby footstep stall, the inevitable, predictable, relatable. Gotta keep moving, not allowed to fall. That's not all, cause all the little fires start and trickle down your plate. Say it ain't great, you just can't wait to follow your heart. That's the hard part, there's just no time in your life to really put aside the passion growing on the side. That's right. Machine on it, clean energy's gonna get the city erected. Inspected by the doc who only piles on the crock pot of the expected versus unexpected. Time to get a pair of clean socks. It shocks the system when you're trying to list some tasks mock. Take a walk to the park, fresh air, but who cares? On the mountain of work, an avalanche of rocks. Busy, busy, busy is the way we're designed to be. Come down and give me some. Run up on the chillin' and the lounge and go. Support the bad habits that keep the foam in the mouth. A rabbit, too much keeping track, and now I've had it.
He's allowed to show off. He's fine.
Absolutely.
That's nuts.
I loved how the chords, like, it sounded like a song, but it wasn't like, here's the verse, here's the chorus, let's go back to the verse, you know, like it was always kind of different, but they all sounded related.
Yes.
Which is really nice. So, and he has a really strong hook, which is, there's nothing quite good enough.
I think the stronger hook is the busy, busy, busy.
Oh,
the way we're designed to be. Like, that's so good.
It's really funky, you know?
It's super funky, yeah.
Where I think people would think, oh, 17-8, that's going to be some kind of weird Frank Zappa jazz stuff. But it's actually like this really funky tune.
I'm really curious. I really want to know the process of developing the rap parts, because in 17-8, and it flows so nicely. And fits with the beats, and it fits all fits together really well. That, I don't know, I can only imagine he was slaved over every little syllable in that thing, because you would have to.
Yeah, like, I mean, you just sort of get the, you know, and one, maybe it's a skill like anything else. You learn how to sort of come up with these melodies and just go along with them and find words that hit that rhythm. But yeah, it's so wonderfully. It flows, and it's interesting. You know what he was saying. Like, he's saying stuff. Like, it's not just random words.
Yeah, it's not nonsense.
These are friggin' awesome songs.
Yeah, so good.
These would be friggin' awesome songs without the challenge.
Yeah. Very smooth and very, like, everything just seems organic. And all three of them tonight, really, just like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just great songs on top of being interesting experiments and interesting challenge answers, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because his chords changed on those divisions.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like when you start futzing around with chords changing in different areas and the downbeat feeling like it's not really on the one and all that sort of stuff, that's when it starts getting, I don't want to say it's wrong, but it's like that's when it gets a little bit jarring. Harder to count along to, and not even jarring necessarily, because it could be a very flowing kind of ethereal thing. It's perfectly fine, right? And if it supports your narrative to do that, then support your narrative to do that. Like you talk about prosody, right? Let's make it make it fit and make it flow. It's all good, right? But in terms of just like being able to dissect it and be able to count along and know where the things are happening and understand it a little bit more, sometimes it's a little bit more of a challenge. You know?
Yeah.
I would be curious to see everyone's DAW sessions on this thing, see how it's mapped out.
Yeah, just incredible stuff. So
he didn't really say anything in his process about what he came up with first, the beat or the, yeah, he's just describing it.
Yeah, well, because I think that was my problem with my process is, you know, I normally start off my ideas from a musical riff. Mm-hmm. And I had to sort of play to a drum beat that was sort of unusual for me. And that was...
Yeah.
So it was hard to get anything to ignite because my process was so unusual for me. Because he's done it so often, does he have this sort of process? And, you know, Steve, you can always send us an email with feedback@songtalk.ca. And let us know, you know, what was it? What, did you start off with the drum beat, or did you start off with the rapping, or what was the thing that kind of ignited this for you?
Yeah. Because there's so many hooks in this thing. It could have been...
Oh, yeah.
It could have been the busy, busy part. It could have been the rap. It could have been anything.
I think this has been a very successful challenge.
I would agree. It was an interesting stretch for both of us, and I think for our listeners, too. I think everybody learned something from this. And super, super good song.
And such different results. Like, they were all so unique and you know, just great. Great.
As per usual.
Yeah.
Listeners never disappoint.
No, we have awesome listeners.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So that is it for this songwriting challenge for 2025.
Woohoo! Thank you so much, everyone. You've been awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for contributing. And thank you, Phil, for supporting it all and muscling through it.
And Neil, thank you for just being you.
Well, no problem. I can't help that. Right. I think that's all the time we have on Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Dan Deganisto, Lynn Moe, and Steve Johnson for sharing their challenge answers. And of course, thanks to the other listeners who submitted their songs. And once again, check out the dedicated webpage at songtalk.ca, where we'll have all the episodes and all the resources related to this challenge. We want to hear from you too, so please send your comments on Facebook or Instagram to @songtalkradio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes, and subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to all who have supported us so far.
Thank you.
You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page on the website. And please visit us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup. Whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups, it's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend the meetup. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
philemery.ca.
And be sure to stop by the website songtalk.ca to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in, and keep on writing.
Happy Song Challenge 2025, everyone. Now it's time to take the lights down.